I really can't start my message today without first going back to yesterday and David Reuter's celebration of life service. David Reuter was a wonderful man, a father to Mariana and husband to George, beloved by a number of faith communities here at Rincon and Grace St. Paul's, and members of Rincon and other communities came together. George and David had come through our church three times, once early on before they had adopted Mariana, and then Mariana was baptized here. And then on a Sunday in December, when they rejoined the church, and 3 days later he died unexpectedly. In the homily, Pastor Steve, the priest at Grace St. Paul's, described David as a man who felt the pain of the world, on whom all the pain of the world rested. And no one could hurt over here without David feeling it over there. He was a champion for the rights of all people, passionate, quirky, odd, sometimes beloved, friend, advocate. And David knew something about not feeling beloved, because he grew up in a faith, in a family, where he was told that he wasn't, because he was gay. As he came into his identity as a gay man, he stayed in the church that told him that he was damned to hell, that he was perverse, and he was anything but beloved. I've been thinking a lot lately about the differences between certain people and those who become prophets and pastors, lights in the world, leaders that move us to a better place. And I think that there's great wisdom in our story of faith, in which Jesus is welcomed at birth immediately and gifted, and the Magi come from afar. And we have this story of his baptism, of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on him, and God saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Knowing ourselves as beloved makes a huge difference in who we become. Whether our God-given full potential is realized or not depends a lot on whether we know ourselves to be beloved. And David, growing up in that church, stayed even though it hurt him. He was never quite comfortable in progressive churches, and he moved in and out of them, in and out of Rincon three times, left Grace St. Paul's, came here. An unquietness that was, there's a word in Spanish, inquieta, a lack of centering and settling in a church, because the old words would come back to haunt him, and he would go to Pentecostal churches and fundamentalist churches and Catholic churches, and then he would come back to a more progressive church and have that balm poured out on him. And he was coming to believe that he was a beloved child of God. And he came to Rincon and they joined the church because he wanted Mariana to know herself as a beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. And particularly in light of the words and actions during the election campaigns and since then, he wanted her to know that she has a place at the table. David, I think, was the first casualty that I know of the new administration, of the hateful rhetoric, and the new actions taken on by the incoming administration. We go to sleep at night with the world one way and we wake up and laws have been changed, rights have been stripped. Over 10 million people are set to lose their health care. We don't know how to take the next right step because the earth beneath our feet is always moving and no one felt that more strongly than David. Why do I bring him up on this day that I'm talking to you about baptism? Because Jesus knew himself as the beloved. And that is our task as church, to be the body and blood and breath and hands of the living Jesus on earth. that makes a place for every person at God's table. Matthew situates Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry, but the next thing that happens is the Holy Spirit sends him to the wilderness for 40 days and night. The life that God calls us to is not easy. We have so whitewashed and dressed up baptism. We baptize babies and it's a beautiful moment and we all feel so good, but I've only done 2 in my 3.5 years as your pastor. Have we lost the sense of baptism as an earth-shaking, transforming moment in which we know ourselves as God's beloved and we hear that call? Because the path is not easy. And with the changes in our world, with a growing propensity for fascism, with the rights of the least and the lost and the last being stepped on globally, we are called to step into our baptism and say yes. I think about our children when they go on mission trips. It happened to me at 40 years old when I went on a mission trip with my Presbyterian church. And I was with what I call people made poor, not by God, but by other people. And we were building houses, and I was living in a cave with a woman and her pig and her pig. I slept in the pig's bed, and her son, who was brain damaged from sniffing glue because he was hungry all the time. And building houses with Habitat for Humanity, with impoverished people, coming together with people from a church in Gladwin, Pennsylvania, and we were singing and we were talking and we were laughing, even as the detritus in the river that was so polluted by the homes we were building would flow by our feet. I, for the first time, knew myself as God's beloved. And I said to my pastor, as we were riding back to camp on the back of a flatbed truck, I feel so good. And he looked at me and he said, listen to that and follow it. We all know a moment when in a protest or in a church service or a rally, we're Protestants. This is Martin Luther King Sunday. We know those times when we come together and we remember we are not alone. And God is working in and through and around us. And in that moment, we are transformed to protest, to come to church, to rally for the rights of all God's people is a moment over and over and over again of the heavens opening up and the Holy Spirit coming down and God saying to God's beloved community, you are my beloved. Martin Luther King died right before his March on Washington, the Poor Man's March on Washington. He was assassinated. He protested and stood up against the war in Vietnam. He had death threats all the time. Our faith tradition in the UCC is that we are the first and the loudest on human rights. We cannot stand by in the weeks and years to come, because our work is laid out for us. There are paths that we can take where we come together with all God's people and we feel that moment. Danny Ruiz is here this morning and he's from Southwest Key. And I'm telling you that when we from Rincon stood in front of those 300 children at Southwest Key Detention Center for unaccompanied, undocumented children, we felt Spirit poured out on us. Right, Danny? I mean, it is a transforming experience. Jesus did not stand up on the altar and have water dribbled on his forehead. He got in the river with the riffraff. He individually had heard of John and what John was doing, and maybe it was that in utero pull that he remembered from when they were both in their mother's wombs, and John leapt at the sense of Jesus being near him, leapt in his mother's womb. Jesus sought out John and said, you baptize me. And John said, no, you're the one. And Jesus said, This is about justice. Isaiah's reading gives us a job description for justice. Baptism is no sweet and nice and tidy thing. It's dirty and messy, and we get thoroughly soaked by it. And we have to get in the river. Get in the river. Not cling to the sides, not stand on the sides and cheer people on, but get in the river in order to feel it, to feel that power. Danny, I wonder if you would come up for a moment so I can introduce you. So glad that you're here today. This is Danny Ruiz, and he's my right-hand person, or I'm his right-hand person or something at South Whiskey.
We're a good team.
Yeah, we are a good team.
Well, I like she said earlier, I work at the shelter South Whiskey here in Tucson, and it's a temporary place for unaccompanied minors that come from across the border here in the U.S. All these kids are here alone, and we take care of them while they can be with their families. And we've had a lot of kids, and we appreciate everything you guys have done for us. I know that a lot of you were willing to help. We did a toy drive for Christmas. I know some of you guys knitted 320 hats. That was incredible. I got some donations from Amazon. I don't know if you guys saw that flyer. I want to thank you guys for helping. I don't know who helped. That was kind of an interesting thing where I created this page online and people donated. So I don't know who it was, but I know that those people will be blessed. And if you are one of those people that helped, I really appreciate it. I know it feels good for me to know that there's other people in the community that are willing to help those kids. I always try to let them know that they're not just, I'm not the only person, and the people that work there aren't the only people that care for them, that want them to succeed and have a better life, and kind of want them to push them on. And so I really appreciate you for being part of our community that cares for those for those kids.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you. And this is our work as a church in the borderlands, is to help these children know, some of them, many of them for the first time, that they are beloved and that God is blessing and sending them as well. May we find more and deeper ways of getting in the river and having that feeling in our own hearts, minds, and bodies of moving forward with God. Amen.